Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hello, it's Lee Salisbury here. Happy Monday and welcome to another edition of the biggest behind-the-scenes podcast of your favourite television shows and the biggest musical stars. And it is Retro Monday as I speak to an 80s and 90s legend. Remember, there are over 88 episodes of Soap from the Box and Pop from the Box to download right now. So once you've listened to this one, get another one on. Anyway, enjoy. Let's go back to the 1980s, my guest today. He was the frontman of Brother Beyond, who rose to instant fame in 1987 when they became part of the runaway success train that was Stock, Aitken and Waterman. He then was a member of Worlds Apart, who became one of France's biggest ever bands. He has gone on to be a successful music mogul manager, representing Lisa Scott Lee from Steps, among many other people. He still sings, he still tours, and he's here with me for this 80s party today. It's a pleasure to welcome Nathan Moore. Hello, Nathan.
Hello, Lee. Good to be with you.
It's great to have you here. It's brilliant. It's someone I've always wanted to speak to, actually, because brother, I mean, just being a man of my age, Stock, Aitken and Waterman years were kind of my childhood and growing up, and I just loved the whole music scene back then. And obviously, let's start with Brother Beyond, because I didn't know this story until I started researching you, of how you guys, because you'd obviously had four singles before you became part of Stock, Aitken and Waterman, but tell me the story of how you got with Stock, Aitken and Waterman, because it's great.
Well, we were working in their studio with one of their other producers, and there was a traditional drink down the pub that Mike, Matt and Pete would be there on a Friday afternoon. And so all the acts and anybody working there would go down the pub.
Amazing.
And so I did actually have a chat with him. And then wind forward a couple of months and there was a music industry charity auction. And our record company, EMI, bid £25,000 to have a song written and produced by Stock, Aitken and Waterman.
That's brilliant.
And, you know, the money went to charity, but there was like, well, who's the act? And so they had discussions. And I think it was just because we happened to be within their studio and having met Pete, he suggested to them, what about, brother? We've met this band, Brother Beyond. We like them. How about we do a record for them? Because there was other bands being, you know, touted from
around,
from EMI's
yeah.
side. Like, yeah. So we were just that was our lucky moment, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose I don't think they really had a boy band at that point, Stock, Aitken and Waterman, did they? They obviously had Kylie, Sonia, Sunita, we had Rick and Jason, but there wasn't really a boy band, I suppose, at that point. I remember Big Fun at one point. I don't know whether you were before or after them, but you were probably kind of there. You know, it's a lot of life, right place, right time, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You get those lucky moments in life. I mean, we'd had four singles out already.
Yes.
I think the record company were getting nervous. They put a lot of money into the band and it's like, is this working? Shall we continue? And that was our lucky moment. And if it wasn't for that, I guess you and I wouldn't be speaking now.
Talking
but yeah,
out.
I guess we were a good fit. We were a good fit for them at the time because they hadn't had a band as such or a boy band. Although we weren't really that was the problem with Brother Beyond and Stock, Aitken and Waterman. I think I was a good fit for them.
Yes,
but
yes.
The rest of the band wrote the songs, all the other songs that we'd done. There were good writers within the band because one of the brothers, Egg White, went on to write Leave Right Now for Will Young.
Ah, right.
Chasing
okay.
Pavements
wow.
with Adele.
Oh, wow.
So he was a really fantastic writer, but he was only like 19 at the time. and he just hadn't hit his stride yet.
Right.
So, you know, there was they struggled with the fact that
they were being written for.
You know, that I was the only one in the studio, and they were like, "Well, what do we do?" Hence, Egg White actually left the band just before he released the song. He's like, "This is not for me. You guys go ahead." You know. So no, I think I was a good fit, and probably I should have gone on to do more
records. Another solo artist, yeah, with them, yeah.
Yeah, I think I should have knocked on Pete's door and said, "Hey, Pete, come on."
Yeah, I mean, I kind of love the idea of this Friday afternoon down the pub with all the artists. I mean, that's kind of people's dream there. You know, Sonia sat there sipping a gin and tonic and Sunita on a lager or something. But, I mean, that first song with them that they wrote for you, straight to number two, The Harder I Try. As you said, you'd had four singles before and had some minor chart success, but straight in at number two. And let's remind everyone listening who might not have been there in the 80s, but, I mean, the 80s and 90s, with the charts were just huge. So to get to number two was such a huge feat. And it kind of basically then propelled you to instant kind of, you know, fan heaven, didn't it? I mean, it must have. Did it feel like that when you hit number two? Was it a sudden change in your life?
I mean, yeah, because I mean, in those days, I mean, it was always my dream to be on Top of the Pops. And when we made it onto the show, honestly, I felt the impact the day after it went out. I mean, I was walking down Oxford Street and I could feel and hear people talking about me.
Wow.
Going, "That's that guy that was on Top of the Pops last night," because the whole nation would watch that
it.
Show.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. Millions and millions. Yeah.
And then at the same time, pop magazines are really important. So being on the cover of Smash Hits and those magazines like Just 17, you know, I was on the cover of all those magazines. So almost every sort of female teenager at the time kind of was aware of who Brother Beyond were.
Did you win a Smash Hit award? Did you win any Smash Hits awards?
Yeah, we won a Smash Hits poll winners award. I got presented it by Donny Osmond.
Amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, I did Royal Variety Performance. I ended up doing Top of the Pops about seven times, you know, did their Christmas special. And it was just a great time to be a pop star. I mean, the late 80s, I mean, Stock Aitken and Waltham were at their height.
Yeah.
Pop music was, you know, it had the big stars like Madonna, Michael Jackson, you know, Boy George. It was full of really, really big artists. And like you said earlier, it was quite hard. To get to number two was quite a feat. You know,
We
were picked to number one. We were picked to number one by Phil Collins.
Oh.
A Groovy Kind of Love, you know, soundtrack to Buster. I'm sure we went around the record shops in a little van buying up copies, because the midweek leading up to it, we were number one all week. And I just couldn't believe it when we ended up being number two. Because the record company said, "Oh, you're going to be number one. You're going to be number one."
And so in a way, somehow, it's a bit of a disappointment. Well, it was a real chart battle then, wasn't it? I mean, that's what I loved about the charts. I mean, it really was. You know, if you went on, I mean, I used to work on Saturday morning TV, and like if an artist came on Saturday morning TV, they would kind of suddenly jump up the charts by a Sunday. You know, everyone wanted their band on Live and Kicking and stuff, because they knew it would up the, you know, the record sales for the Sunday charts.
Oh, those things were so important. You know, it all really mattered. You had to be on the A-list of Radio 1. It was like people lost their jobs if they didn't get you on there. And, you know, and in fact, pop was struggling to get on there. But so, like you said, TV was so important, being on Alive and Kicking or whatever.
And they were fun, those shows. I mean, I think number 73. I really miss those shows. I mean, I know kids now wouldn't stay in and watch 4 hours of telly on a Saturday morning, but I mean, it was just a different place, a different time. They were fun, those shows. I mean, you said Top of the Pops. Was that kind of the dream? Was that the favourite TV show that you did, really? I mean, I suppose it was every young boy and girl's dream to go on there.
Oh, yeah. It's what I remember being a 15-year-old boy watching, I think it was Japan, on Top of the Pops and going, "I want to do that. You know, I'm going to be on Top of the Pops." I was sort of saying it to myself. And, you know, you manifest these things, you make them happen. And I think I did. And to get there, wow, you know, when we got into the studio on that day, I couldn't believe that they only used three stages.
I know, it was tiny, wasn't it, actually? It was really small.
Yeah. They only had 50 people in, and they would push them around the camera.
Yeah, to make it look like there were hundreds.
Yes, and then they would herd them across to the other stage very quickly, and then push them around the camera, and it made it look like it was a couple of hundred, but there really was only 50. Audience members are allowed to be in there.
Yeah, it's
it was
one
amazing,
of the first shows
really.
I went
like,
to.
Wow.
I know, it's one of the first shows I went to as an audience member back then. And I remember that started, and then I have had a career in telly, and it started that thing of when I first worked on EastEnders, I remember going to Albert Square going, oh my God, it's so small. Telly is a magical place for that. You know, these sets look small. But, and you said again, you know, girls and boys, fans, suddenly, did you get the thing of kind of suddenly people were camping outside your house and stuff? I mean, the fans were real fans, weren't they, back then?
Oh, yeah. We had the Yondies sort of following us, and I lived in Islington at the time, so there would be kids outside my flat, and also Brossettes
of course,
they were
yeah.
kind of mean to us because there was a little bit of rival
with
us and Bross, and then one time they kind of attacked my girlfriend at the time, and you know. But they didn't know what they were in for. She was a bit tough.
So they had a bit of a shot.
She gave them what for. They didn't know what hit them. So,
a dream, isn't it, in a way? But I mean, coping with that attention. I mean, nowadays it's so different because now it's social media. But let's take everyone back to the '80s. Play along at home. We're going to give you a little '80s quiz. There's only five questions. I think they're quite easy, but it depends how well you know the '80s. Play along at home if you're listening. So, Nathan Moore, here we go. Can you name one of the two best-selling video games of the '80s?
I can't. No chance.
I kind of did think of one. The Super Mario Brothers. You must remember Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and Tetris. Yeah, yeah. They were the two games. Okay, this one's easier, I think. Who was nicknamed the Iron Lady?
Oh, Thatcher. Of course.
Margaret Thatcher. In 1986, yes. Who became the youngest heavyweight boxing champion in the world?
Mike Tyson.
Yes. Oh, you're doing well. You've recovered. You've recovered well here, okay. Nathan. And which film popularized leg warmers in the 1980s?
Was it Footloose?
I thought it was Footloose. It's the other one. It's Flashdance. I mean, I think Footloose probably did as well.
Oh, Flashdance. Okay.
thinking back to the fashion, I mean, what was your... Did you get styled as a band in Brother Beyond? Did you have a kind of... Was it a denim look you had, you guys?
Yeah.
Was that... Yeah.
People say, well, where's the white jeans sometimes, you know? So I would wear white jeans on top of the pops. I mean, we did actually have, I had these DM shoes with the metal showing at the front.
Yes, I remember those.
And
yeah.
We had them before Bross, and they kind of nicked it and then upgraded it with a Grolsch bottle top. And I was a bit miffed by that. But they were, in fact, what happened was Bross's manager came to us and asked to manage us before Bross were.
Oh,
there.
Wow.
We'd gone to see him in 1985 or 86. And we asked him to manage us. And he said, oh, look, I'm very busy with this band called the Pet Shop Boys. And they hadn't broken yet.
Wow.
Within that year, they'd had success. We got signed to EMI. And we would see him in the record company all the time. And he said, guys, come on, I've got time now. I can do this. Let's do this. And we said, no, thanks. He turned us down once. Probably a bit silly to do that. And so he went out and kind of found or created Bross, you know.
And what happened there? That was part of the nature.
Yeah, I wonder.
Let's go back to the 1989 album, which was Trust. That was like the second album. And it kind of started at the same time, bizarrely, that album was breaking America, which was amazing. But in the UK, the kind of singles chart, the places kind of started to slip. And again, was that quite hard to take? Because obviously, again, it happens to everyone in the end. But was it quite soon, I suppose, for in the UK for that album not to do as well as the first one?
Yeah, it was heartbreaking, really, because, it just seemed to be over so quickly. We had had a bit of success in America, and we were kept there for about 3 months. And, you know, we were touring all over. It was all very exciting. I got to meet Madonna. I was on TV with, like, Whoopi Goldberg and all sorts
amazing.
I was on tour with, Donny Osmond, and it was all great. And then suddenly... We came back to the UK, the single flopped, and the record company said, we're going to drop you. So it's over for us.
Wow.
And we were like, that was it. But the mistake we'd made was we just didn't do any more records with Stock Aitken and Waterman.
Yeah.
And that was really foolish. I said it earlier, what I should have done, having recorded two songs with them, it was just me in the studio, I should have probably knocked on Pete's door and said, look, Brother Beyond the Songwriters, let them write the next album.
Yeah.
But let's do a solo album together. You know, this is already working. And I think you'd have probably found it hard to say no. And I think
Because I mean, look, you're a very good looking guy, and you kind of had the fan base there. So I mean, in retrospect, I suppose, you could have been, you know, they only had Jason really at that time, didn't they? Rick was a bit of a, Rick had kind of gone but in a way by that stage. So yeah, it could have, I suppose it must be hard to look back thinking, oh, I could have had my own solo
career. Yeah, yeah. You look back and you think, how stupid was I not to even think about that? I think I was too preoccupied with other things, and you know, I just wasn't very focused. I'm much more focused now. If I had this old head back in that young body,
I know. Well, we would all say that, though, wouldn't we? We'd all say that in life. We would change stuff, and you can't. But then, obviously, you joined another really successful band, Worlds Apart. Now, they obviously did. They'd had quite a lot of members before you joined, and they did kind of okay over here. But I mean, it's. I didn't realize this in France. I mean, you were huge, but you were supported by. I mean, I think this is true. I've read this. You were supported by the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, which I mean is incredible. What two massive bands! But did that kind of, that must have been crazy. I mean, literally, France went mad for you, didn't they?
Well, yeah. Like, I had that lucky moment with Stock Aitken and Waterman and Brother Beyond. The same happened for me when I joined Worlds Apart. It was like, I couldn't believe I was part of another boy band. They'd already had a little bit of success in Germany, but because it wasn't really working in the UK, there was other bands like Boyzone and Blue
Westlife
or whatever,
you
know, just ahead of Westland. It was flooded with boy bands, and they weren't really, it wasn't really working for them. But then we did this record in Germany, and it just suddenly started to take off in France. And then the French record company came to us and said, look, come over. We think you could be really big. We've got these great ideas. One of the guys was very clever, and he said, look, I want you to record this song in the French. It was a rock song, but I want to do a pop dance version with you guys. I can produce it. We said, okay, we just went his way. We did it, and it was huge. It was sold 600,000 copies.
Wow.
It was called Je te donne, and it was massive for us. And we had top five records off the album, and it eventually sold 1 million copies. And yeah, we were the biggest boy band, you know.
And in a way, was that quite nice being able to come? Yeah, was that quite nice being able to come back here and not be as big? You know, like, as in, sometimes I think being that famous must be quite annoying where you live, and you know, you can't go out. It must be quite nice in a way to have that massive success somewhere else, but then at home you can kind of relax a tiny bit more.
It was amazing. We'd go to France. It would be hysteria.
Yeah.
It would be crazy at the airport. You know, we'd have security, and they would, like, you know, very often we'd be met from planes on the tarmac.
Wow. You know,
and not go through the airport. So it's just too dangerous. And so it was all great. And then we'd land back at Heathrow, and it'd be like, I'll just get on the tube.
Yeah.
You know, nobody would know what I'd been doing that weekend. And it was actually really quite nice.
Yeah,
really quite
to have a bit
of
some home time.
Living in the UK, you know, and going off to France to be a pop star.
Yes, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, there's some facts here. I've got the biggest French tour ever, one of the biggest French tours ever, where you broke merchandise records in every concert all in the country. Sold over 10 million records, I've got here in it all. I love, in Germany, you had your own orange juice. And I've also read that Haribo produced sweets of your heads.
Yeah, we got to choose what flavour we were.
What flavour were you?
I was cherry cola.
A cherry cola.
And,
okay, yeah,
you
nice.
Know, they did a shape of your face, and then, you know, each boy had his own flavor, and you would buy these tubs, and you would pick out Steve or Cal or me, you know.
That's
and,
brilliant.
We had our own Capri Sun drink, a Worlds Apart Capri Sun drink. We did a Capri Sun advert in Germany, and it was just a brilliant time. I mean, my God, the manager would, like, yeah, if you want a you know, a pair of shoes or a pair of socks or, you know, a swimming costume with Worlds Apart on it, go ahead. It's like, so
and get it.
We were marketed on everything. You could go to these photo booths in France, and you'd go in and you'd have a picture, but you'd have a picture with us.
Oh, that's brilliant. They'd superimpose them onto That's brilliant. I mean, and I mean, how forward thinking, because that's that, I mean, product placement and brands is all what it's about now on social media. So it was kind of the beginning of that, wasn't it, really? But I mean, Haribo's, you can imagine the taglines are there, you know, have your own taste of Nathan Moore. I love that.
So this year is really busy summer for me. So, you know, and honestly, everything from Butlins is great. And I'm still doing a lot of that sort of stuff. So
I've heard they're quite raucous. They're quite raucous, the Butlins ones, because it's no kids allowed, isn't it? So it's the proper old school fans going crazy at Butlins.
Yeah, it's an adult 80s weekender. There's 6,000-7,000 people on site. And so, you know, you walk out to 2,000 or 3,000. In the venue you're playing, and they're all there for you, and those songs, you know, that reliving their youth, and it's a win-win situation.
It's a magical moment. I asked Carol Decker this from DePauw. I said, do you still, you know, have your bottle of wine? Is it still the same tour bus mentality, or is it kind of a cup of mint tea before bed? What are you like? Are you still a bit rock and roll, or are you kind of early to bed now?
No, I warm up before I go on stage. I don't drink before I go on stage. No, I'm really, because I want to perform to my best. I have a drink to unwind after, but I never get smashed. There's nothing clever or attractive.
No, we've been there. We've been there and done that, haven't we? We've been there and done that.
That's it. Yeah. You want to look after yourself now. I want to have a long life. So I'm still enjoying it.
You still need the good looks to last, Nathan. You don't need drink to bring those down. You went on to be a music manager as well, which you've done for years. You've done TV stuff, MTV's Music Revival program, Hit Me Baby One Time. Are you still managing, or are you kind of now mostly concentrating on singing and being an artist again?
No, I kind of dabbled with the management. I just, after Worlds Apart finished, I thought, well, my time's done, you know, what should I do next? And the manager of Worlds Apart at the time, he was just about to get Liberty X, and he said, look, come and enjoy with me, we'll co-manage some things together. So I, one of my first projects was the band Fix off Popstar The Rivals.
Oh yes, yeah.
I managed them, so it was nice to kind of try and help a boy band. You know, and I worked with Natasha Bedingfield for a year, and then, you know, it was enjoyable working with Lisa and Andy Scott Lee. But honestly, sometimes I would stand side stage and think,
I want to be out there.
I should still be out there. Yeah. I want to be out there. And I felt I was kind of doing a little bit of a disservice to the acts by feeling that way. And so when my life changed and I moved to the north of England, I decided to, all right, let's give up management. And just at that time, I got phone calls to come and sing The Harder I Try. I mean, you have to wait a long while. I had to wait like 15 years before anyone called me to hear that song again. And I've been answering those calls ever since. And that's what I do. That's why I went back to singing, because I really enjoyed it. And I don't do management.
And I think people's perceptions change. I think years ago it had a bit of a, like, I don't know, it wasn't cool to sing the old songs, but now it's really celebrated, which I love. Do you know what I mean? And so many bands, I mean, Lisa Scott Lee, obviously, Steps reformed. And who would have known that band, who was supposed to be a one-hit wonder, do you know what I mean, is still absolutely massive? Because I think the 80s and 90s had something really special about them, and actually people want to celebrate, you know, we've got this whole wave, new wave of music, but actually there's songs and bands and artists from that time that are still actually really relevant and people really connect to. So I think it's brilliant that now it's very cool to like Brother Beyond and You Again. Do you know what I mean? It feels, it's great that we've had that shift.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it feels really good. I'm doing a festival in late May up here in the north in Preston.
Oh,
and they've got a mix of, you know, it's got Nick Kershaw, it's got Bad Manners, it's got Peter Andre, you know, so there's a real mix of artists. It's got, you know, Boys on the Block, you know, so they're mixing up some of the old and some of the new, because the 80s seems to be so relevant. A lot of the youngsters really like it. This mixture of festivals is really working, and they've asked me to host that one. God knows why, but
oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, no, I'll be hosting and singing at things like that, and I love it. You know, people ask me to do stuff like that, it's a yes, you know.
Well, it's amazing to have you back. And, well, go and book your tickets. That I'm taking it, your website. What's your website, Nathan? Because if people check that out, I'm sure they'll see what you're up to and what they can see you at. How can people get on your website? What's the address?
Yeah. NathanMooreOfficial.co.uk. Go on there. All my dates are on my diary there. Yeah, you know, so Let's Rock starting on May the 20th in Cookham. That's every weekend for about 10. And it's got all the rewind dates on there when I'm at Butlins, at Bognor, and Minehead and Skegness. So everything's on there. NathanMooreOfficial.co.uk.
Amazing. Go and
check that. Find out where I am.
Easy to find out. And before you go, you have to play either or our weekly quiz with our celebrities. You just choose one or the other. Here we go for you. So you've got Take That or Westlife?
Take That, always.
Kylie or Britney?
Kylie.
Oh, good man. Salty or sweet?
Salty or
they're very random.
Sweet.
This is a killer one. Yeah. Speedos or shorts?
I did wear Speedos at one point.
Yeah. Did you? You were a Speedo man.
Back in the 80s. Yeah. Go Speedos, because I'm probably out on my own there.
Good man. No, a few people have said so, but mostly shorts, but I think Speedo is the way to rock it. A beer or a cocktail?
A beer for me.
Sonia or Sunita?
Ooh. Sonia. I like close call. I like both of them, but I see Sonia a lot.
Yeah, so rocking song. I'll Never Stop Me From Loving You. That's a tune and a half. That's one of the Stockade and Waterman's best. Malibu or Brighton?
Malibu, please.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, Malibu.
I love the sun. I love the sun. So I'm sorry, it's got to.
And the Malibu houses. Yeah, I mean, come on, they're amazing. And the final one. This is the hardest question that everyone finds: naughty or nice?
Oh, naughty. Always.
You're
naughty.
Good man. Naughty, good man. Yeah. You're the kind of man we want on this show. absolutely amazing to speak to you, Nathan. Honestly, it's an honour because you're part of my growing up. I love all that music scene. So it's amazing to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on,
Lee. I've got something for you. So, you're a Stock Aitken and Waterman fan, right? I can tell that from our chat.
Yes.
Are you going to the Stock Aitken and Waterman musical?
I've heard about this, and absolutely, definitely, I'm going to be going to the Stock Aitken and Waterman musical. I can't wait for that. It's been I've read.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it online too, and you know, they're all talking about it. It starts up north in Manchester.
Oh, well, amazing! Well, I'm up north in Leeds. Let's meet up for a beer, and we will go to the Stock Aitken and Waterman musical.
It's coming to Leeds. You look
is
at the
it
dates,
coming,
it's
to,
coming
Leeds?
To Leeds? I think at Christmas.
Amazing!
Yes,
oh my god,
Leeds.
that is the perfect Christmas tree. What
I don't know whether I don't know whether Brother Beyond features anything in it. Probably not. You know, we always see.
You never know. The harder I try, has got a good song title for a musical. Do you know what I mean? I can see that being part of the story. So let's see.
They did the Stock Aitken and Waterman documentary, and everyone else was in it. Even, you know, everybody was asked to be interviewed in it. They didn't call me, but you know, it's okay.
What?
It's okay.
So it's all right. You've been on with me now.
And I said at a recent concert. I said, look, the musical's coming, but I'm probably not in it. And then someone shouted out, "Yeah, you are. He ain't no competitions in the. You can find the music online." I'm like, really?
Oh wow!
So I did research it. And I'm not sure whether they're right. I couldn't quite tell. But I do know that the lead character is called Nathan.
Oh, well, there we go. Come on. That is definitely based on you then. That
surely in honour of me. Surely.
In honour. That is definitely in honour of you. Well, listen, mate, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure, Lee. It'd be good to meet you. And yeah, it was nice chatting, mate.
Thank you so much to Nathan Moore from Brother Beyond and Worlds Apart for being my special guest on Retro Monday on Pop From The Box. I am back on Friday with a big star from a big TV show who has just left your small screens. Very exciting. Remember, there are over 88 episodes to listen to right now of Soap From The Box and Pop From The Box. So get downloading, follow us on social media at Soap From The Box. Let us know who you want to hear on the show. Have a great week. I'll see you on Friday.